so
Hello,
much.
Hello, and welcome to Moms Making Money teleclass on how to sell on eBay. We are thrilled today to have Dani with us. Dani is a single mom, and she has been selling things on eBay since 1998, and she now derives a large majority of her income from selling strictly on eBay. Isn't that right, Dani?
Yes, I do.
Great. And
not all of it, but a significant amount, and the harder I work, the more I sell. That's one nice thing about eBay. If you want to stay up all night and work, you make more money.
I know, we talked to a mom the other day who helps run an eBay store, and she said it's a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week job.
It can be.
Yeah, she said it's a little bit crazy, but, you know, the store is successful. Also on the line is our Moms Making Money president, Renee Walton, and she's also going to be jumping in with questions. We're just going to do this as a Q&A, because we're all just fascinated on how to make some extra money on eBay. Because I know I'd like to. One of the things that we talked about before we started this call is how eBay isn't the eBay that it was when it first started. It's no longer the great garage sale or yard sale.
Well, part of the problem is that so many people got interested in eBay, and they're all trying to sell the same blouse. So after a while, you get 14,000 blouses, and nobody is going to dig through 14,000 blouses to find the very one they want. So you don't stand much of a chance if that's all you have to sell.
So then what should you be selling on eBay?
Weird, unusual, unique, rare, collectible, anything that would catch somebody's eye that they couldn't find at the local thrift store.
So, I mean, if you have something, let's say you have this, like, weird blouse, or let's say I was reading about Ray Davies today, so you've got a shirt from Ray Davies, you know, off of his back that you picked up.
Right,
at the concert.
Exactly.
Okay, so how would I begin to sell that?
Obviously everything has to be contained in the title.
Mm-hmm.
The only way that they're going to find the item, they can search with a name in the actual body of the definition. You can put in keywords that will come up even if the word appears, you know, halfway through the description. But most people only search by title. So you would put in Ray Davies or, you know, that would be the most obvious. It depends on what it is. But any keywords that people could notice in regards to the things that they collect, I mean, there are people, you know about searches, right?
Why don't you go over that briefly?
Okay. A search is when an individual eBayer actually has certain interests, and they can put them on their search. Then all they have to do is just punch in a key, and all those searches will come up. Or you can put it on, hang on, I have to kill my babies. Get out of there. Go on. They have become obsessed with flushing the toilet. Okay. Sorry about that. That's the only thing you're going to have is baby interruption.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, we're all used to that.
All right, so what were we talking about? Oh, all right. You can do favorites. It's the little heart on the top right-hand side. And anything that interests you, you can put that on favorites. And then once a day, eBay will be happy to send you all of the, you know, different favorites that interest you. So say you collect bangle bracelets or, I don't know, size 7 sneakers, whatever. As long as you're reasonably specific about it, eBay will essentially send you a list of all the things that people listed in that category.
Now, is there a way to find out how many people might have something listed as a favorite? Like, let's say I make, hand-painted handbags. Can I go in and say, you know, find out if there's an interest in people who are interested in hand-painted handbags?
Well, there's a lot of ways to do that.
Mm-hmm.
You can punch in hand-painted handbags and look at, number one, closed listings, so you can see how many recently sold. Or you can put in hand-painted handbags and see how many are currently, you know, up at auction and how many have bids. You can use eBay as a source of information for the things that you're considering selling. Hold on a minute. Sorry, my throat is so sore.
Since it's changed, Dani, is it mainly businesses now that are doing this?
Businesses? But I think it's mainly people that are more professional. Even if they're, you know, not real businesses. The people that are involved in it are a lot more professional than they were, only because otherwise they wouldn't be able to sell anything. So you've learned very quickly, if you want to sell on eBay, that you have to be very professional about it.
So it's changed from like a hobby,
right,
to more of a profession.
Yeah, it's too much work to be a hobby anymore.
Okay.
It really is. I mean, you really have to do it right. Otherwise, you won't sell it, and you'll just waste your money. A lot more people just don't bother, and they just have a big yard sale. You know, they sell as much stuff, and won't cost anywhere near as much. I'm not saying that eBay is all business. It's just that the whole timbre of it has become more professional. People take professional photographs. They do professional borders. They just generally, you know, there's all kinds of tutorials on eBay that tells you how to list things, how to describe them, what keywords are, what you can and can't do, so all that kind of stuff.
So then let's go back to the type of things that are good or it's good to sell on eBay. If you are, let's say, a crafter, because a lot of people are, you know, I mentioned handbags, or maybe you make your own clothes.
Mm-hmm.
Would you, let's say, that's a perfect example. Let's say you make your own clothes.
Uh-huh.
Would you say that's something that you could sell on eBay? Because how would you list that as an
unusual? If it's unusual, yes. How would I market it? Well, chances are if I made my own clothes, I would, number one, have a store.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we'll go into more about what store is later.
Okay.
But the best way to market a handcrafted thing would be to constantly be running auctions.
Mm-hmm.
And then also have a store with more of your items in it, so that when you when somebody goes to your auction, you can also see that you have additional things. And you have to have an angle. I mean, you can't just make, you know, a skirt. It has to be unusual and interesting and have something special about it. Or, again, you might as well go to a fair somewhere.
Okay,
so it has
really
to be
unique.
Something that stands out from the crowd. But there are a lot of people. I have a friend's daughter who handcrafts these one-of-a-kind necklaces. She takes, like antique earrings and little bits and pieces, and she incorporates them with really pretty beads and silver wire, and she just does very interesting, creative things. And it's all new, although it incorporates some slightly older things. But she does very good photographs. She does interesting descriptions. She just generally, she's very creative about it, and she has built up a following of people that collect her stuff. And, you know, she's kind of gone from nothing. Hold on a sec. Okay.
So that's actually what I was wondering about. It's like people building up following, which I guess is a great thing.
You build a following by dealing with a customer well, by essentially delivering things on time, so, you know, they're not
waiting forever.
Yeah.
We had talked about feedback. Is that how you build it up? Like if you give them really good customer service and ship it fast and all that, they'll give you like a good feedback?
I think
so, Are they still doing the stars? Like, I've been on it so long. You still get like a star rating?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
No, nothing has changed about feedback.
Okay.
I would say that communication is the most important thing in getting good feedback. You know, when someone orders something, email them and say, thank you for your order. When you're putting it in the mail, email them and say it's on its way. When they give you nice feedback, because I always say, please, enjoy it and please let me know it arrives safely. About half the time they do that by leaving me feedback. The minute I see that they've left me feedback, I email them back and say, I am so happy that you're pleased with your item. And, you know, thank you very much for the nice... In other words, you take that extra moment to make of a more personal communication, because you can do it all completely automatically. Somebody can order something, and eBay will send them out a little note saying, give me money. And, you know, but I never do that. I do it all personally, and I am extremely proud of my feedback, because it's not just thank you, thank you, thank you. It's, I mean, my feedback is pretty sensational, I'm happy to say. And it's because I work very hard at it, and I really, you know, I try to make my customers happy as much as I possibly can.
So it's going back to that customer service and one-to-one marketing.
Yeah, communication is everything. Because remember, you're just an impersonal person with a name, and you have got to find a way to break through that barrier. And I have so many regular customers, and it's because, hang on, I'm going to switch phones for something. You there?
Yeah.
Are you there?
Yes.
Okay. that's function of the consumer. But I mean, like, my feedback says stuff like smooth transaction, great packing, among eBay's finest, recommended, very happy, quick shipping, good communication, you know, great communication, delivery, and that's the kind of feedback I want to see, because that means that I have done what I meant to do, which was to really communicate with these people. And I have a ton of people that come back. Number one, I'm on a lot of people's favorites, which means that they get notice every day of the new things that I have. And I often will wake up in the morning and they'll have ordered things overnight, and that's really nifty. But I'm in a kind of a unique position in the sense that I am an antique dealer, mm-hmm. as opposed to somebody selling a craft or a product. It's just me. I mean, if you want that thing, you can't go to six different sites and, you know, ask six other dealers if they've got it too.
Right.
So basically what we have so far, mm-hmm. Just recapping what we've got, is the item that we're wanting to list, if we're going to start this, mm-hmm. it would have to be something fairly unique or collectible.
Yeah, I think the whole,
you know, that you wouldn't normally find.
Sorry. And I was going to say, let's go down the, you know, we briefly had a list of, you know, maybe how to get a good selling, you know, talk a little bit about, you've talked a little bit about keywords, but maybe titles, mm-hmm. pricing, what is a reserve, how they should be used.
Okay. As far as the title goes, I always include one very personal word in it, like I'll say cute or sweet or pretty or charming or delicate or something that personally in my mind describes. Sometimes I'm real superlative about it, you know, superb, exceptional. But most of the time it's just kind of a, you know, just like a sweet, charming, whatever. So I'm already trying to bring a sort of sense of my personal feeling about the item.
Right. Now, do you think people should leave out or include words like great, number one, the best?
No, I hate great, number one, the best. No stars, no, you know, fireworks, nothing.
Right.
No, most of the title should be a description of the item, the best that you possibly can, with as many keywords. Because remember, you know what a keyword is, right? When you're looking for something, you put one or sometimes more than one word in that address bar that you're going to send to eBay to tell you what things match your description. So you want to incorporate...
Can you give us an example?
Oh, hang on. Let's
use the Ray Davies file.
Well, let me use something that I currently have listed.
Oh, okay.
How's
that's even better.
Okay, so what do we have listed? Slow tonight. People are all home listing things because it's so hot. Okay. All right. Let me take one that's a perfect example and then I'll parse it for you. Okay. Okay. Charming, tiny, vintage, 14-karat child's heart locket / diamond. Now, what does that tell you? All those things.
Exactly what it is.
Well, someone that's looking for something
vintage. It's
vintage.
A darling little tiny gold locket for a child.
Mm-hmm. Children's jewelry.
And
something with diamonds.
Right. So I try to put in if people are looking for hearts, if people are looking for vintage, if people are looking for child, like a lot of people are looking for a christening gift or a child's gift. 14 carats. Some people are just looking for lockets. So any of those words that they put into the search bar, my stuff will come up, even the diamond part.
Really kind of what you want to do is evaluate who your potential audience market
exactly.
is for that and then include anything that would attract that attention.
Exactamundo. It's really no different than the newspaper that says, you know, cheap Toyotas, you know, whatever on.
What,
I mean,
what about like the highlighting and the bolding? Do you do that,
no,
or
do
you rely?
No,
you rely mm-mm. on your
nope.
keyword.
No,
what
I
about
don't think
the
I,
ad? I'm sorry, the ad itself. Do you add color or any sort of?
I add there. They have built-in borders. I don't bother. You know, I could have like gotten the service that didn't all that. You know, honestly, nobody looks at that.
Okay.
You know, bare naked ladies or something. Nobody notices the border much. the boards that they offer, like 35 cents each, and that's fine with me. They're perfectly acceptable. I don't bother. There are some people that have so much stuff in their ad that it takes about half an hour to get to the picture and the description. It's, they talk about, you know, if you don't pay within 5 minutes, and this and then, and they talk about themselves, and it's like, no.
Well, you know, you just mentioned picture. Do you do professional pictures, or do you take them yourself?
Oh, I take
with
them
the digital camera?
I am a professional photographer at this point. I've been
Well,
you learn after a while what looks best. And some of my pictures are still crap. I just can't get them to look right.
So
but most of them are great.
Photo?
Hmm?
So what does make a good photo? Any tips?
Hang on a sec. Erin? Erin, it's time to go to bed. Hang on a sec. There are children that must...
Sounds to me like if you had something going back to our rate, Davy's Blouse, a good listing title would be, you know, rock memorabilia blouse, you know, from Ray Davies.
Yeah, slash, but then put / Ray Davies.
Yeah, and that would happen.
Well, it's a collectible Ray Davies shirt that he wore for what?
I don't actually have one.
In your mind,
so
what is it?
For a concert, you know, from whatever, 1967 concert.
So what you want to put is something like cool Ray Davies concert shirt.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Got it. So again, as many keywords as you could think of.
Okay.
And we don't have to do a lot of fluff with the borders or colors or fonts or anything like that.
I just do the borders that they have, like 150 borders available now, and you just pop in, and I just, you know, I can't be bothered to do any more than that. I don't care about it. I don't notice the high color. I mean, I've been shopping online since the day eBay opened, and I never notice any of that stuff.
What about making it easy? I know one of the things is like... if you can take PayPal or just, you know, kind of make it easy for the consumer?
Well, I take PayPal. When I send them a note, what I call my thank you note, I say thank you for purchasing from me. I accept PayPal. I accept money orders or personal checks. So I'll actually email them and tell them that's what, and then also PayPal sends them out a little note.
Do you list that on your listing, what you take?
I'm sorry?
Or is it on your listing on eBay what you take, or you don't know until after? Okay.
No. Oh, no. You must, by eBay law, you must tell them what you accept and what you don't.
And shipping, do you list the shipping amount, or do you wait until
Honestly, for the most part, I charge $2 for shipping plus $1.60 insurance. There are a lot of dealers now that are charging $20 to ship a 1 ounce. I mean... In other words, they're trying to make their money on shipping, and that's bull. They shouldn't be doing that, and if somebody complains, they could get kicked off of eBay. I am very offended by people that try to do that, and I will not purchase from them at all.
So you do about $2 plus insurance.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so
you just try to make it really
$2.
Easy.
My clothing's real heavy. Hmm?
Okay.
Yeah, I charge a basic $2 fee. That kind of covers... the cost of my shipping envelope. I wrap everything in a little jewelry box. Sometimes I send them satin pouches. I always send them nice little things to go with the things that they've purchased. And so that's basic $2. And if they buy 5 things and they all fit in a tiny little envelope, then it's still $2. Maybe the insurance will go up if it adds up over a certain amount. But I don't try to make my money off of, you know, a lot of people try to at least make their listing fees off of their shipping. They'll charge, you know, I'm not kidding, $6, $8 for shipping? It's ridiculous. So I don't do that.
Overside charge is annoying.
No, it's very annoying, and it puts a lot of people off.
Right. What about price points? Do you have any thoughts or any recommendations how to arrive at a price point for
your That's something that you can really kind of research by looking at closed listings of an item similar to what you have. If you look at the closed listings, you can see more or less what it went for, and you can make a decision based on that and how much you want to charge. I don't have to do that, but I've been in this business my whole life. And I mean, I know roughly what things will go for and what things currently are going for. But if you have some concern about it, look at what has sold or is currently selling that's similar, and make a decision based on that. But if you're buying things to resell for $10 and they resell for $12, you really have to get out of the business right away. You have to be a very savvy buyer, and it's not easy. You know, I won't pretend that this is an easy way to make extra money. It is work, but it's a nice way to make extra money. Once you get it, you can stay home and work, and you can work as hard or as little as you want, depending on, you know, your ability and your time and whatever.
Sounds good. I remember back when I used to do this, they used to have something. I was trying to think of the name. I can't remember, but it was something where you could set up in the profile of your listing that would, if it didn't reach the amount that you wanted, like say you wanted to
reserve. Yeah, that's a reserve.
Yeah, the reserve,
right.
Yeah.
They still have that.
Do you use the reserve, or do you suggest it, or does it,
when I train people, that's a reserve can be a handy thing on a more, I list things several different ways. If I know it's going to run, I mean, I'm pretty familiar with what most of my stuff is going to go for. I start most of the things that I think are going to go for, you know, $20, $30, say under $50. I start those either at $11, $18, maybe $22, no more than that. And I know that people are going to have a good time bidding on it, and I'll get pretty much what I want. If things are over $50, I will generally start them at the top amount of money I want for them. So if I want $50 for something, although all my things are odd numbers, but if I want $50 for it, that's what I'll ask. You know,
okay.
I just can't be bothered with these people that 11, 27, 12, 13, you know, if these people have any cojones, they will bid what I think it's worth, and they'll have it. Reserve prices are really more for very, when I'm selling things in the $800 to $1,500 range, and I don't want, you know, the people to just goof around, then I will put a reserve on it. And then they can bid all they want until they hit the reserve. So, you know, but that type of thing attracts people. People tend to look more at items that already have bids on them than items that, as it gets closer to the end of the auction time, people tend to look more at things that other people have bid on.
Why do you think that is? I mean,
because
are you looking for a deal?
Why do you want your girlfriend's boyfriend?
I always look at things that don't have a bid on it, because then I think I can get it extra cheap.
Well, but it that's not how it works psychologically.
I'm backwards.
Why do you want your girlfriend's boyfriend? Because she's got him.
Mm-hmm. What?
It's much the same way. People saying, oh, somebody's bidding on this. Hey, it must have, you know, if you're looking through 200 things, you're much more likely to check things that somebody has already bid on.
Right, no,
because
you're right.
Because it's easier to do it that
so
way.
So do you bid on your own items?
No, not unless somebody gets kicked off eBay.
Oh,
yeah,
really?
They don't allow that.
Okay.
My girlfriend, I had a situation about a year ago. I'd listed a bunch of stuff, and my girlfriend said, oh, my God, I love that. I said, well, bid on it. She did. The only thing is she bid on, without realizing it, that there was any problem, she bid on it from my computer. Now, there's nothing wrong with your friend bidding on your thing, but they know when something's being bid out of the same computer, and we nearly got kicked off eBay. We had to explain what happened. So...
So they're very vigilant about that.
Oh, yeah, extremely, because it's called shill bidding.
Yeah.
Well,
how do you,
you know,
your
it used
then?
To be, you'd never be able to bid on your own thing, but you'd have friends bid.
Hey, you could call me, Viv, and I would bid on it. Though I didn't do that once, but I was helping one of my neighbors. She had actress glass, tons of it, and we were putting it on eBay, and it wasn't moving as high as she wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
So her son decided to jump in.
Mm-hmm.
And bring a high bid, but he overdid it, and no one bid it higher than him.
Yeah, well, that
so
happens.
He
so
owed
she
us
had
money.
To pay all the closing. Well, that's what she gets for.
Yeah,
that's
so I'm like, yes. You have to be careful with that.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's never a good idea. I mean, a couple of times I've had friends that have had things on there, and they're so depressed because not one single person has bid. So I've called a friend that they don't know to put like a little bid on that I know that they'll, you know, they'll never get it for that price. But I would never do it, but I would ask a friend to do it, and it gets the bidding going. But even that, you know, you have to be very, very careful, because if eBay finds out that you're, I mean, what I'm suggesting, there's nothing wrong with, but my friend bidding on my thing from my computer was, you know, even though we weren't doing anything wrong, she had every intention of buying it. You know, it's just I already had watchers, and I couldn't very well just pull the listing. So I said, well,
they record
bid on it, honey.
Oh. We started talking, and I think we got sidelined about photos. Like, what makes a good photo? Any
boy,
tips on
that's
how to take
tough.
A good picture? Just,
I think a clear... the photos aren't as important as a really good description.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not leaving anything out, being as clear and specific about size and anything that's wrong, any damage, anything like that. A good, clear photo is about all. I mean, I don't think you really need to have a professional photo done.
Mm-hmm.
My photos are pretty good. Some people really do have everything done professionally. I don't think it benefits them sufficiently for the amount of cost.
How many photos do you think you need? Like, do you need front, back, side?
It depends on what the piece is.
Okay.
Some pieces sell themselves by a single. If it's a pin, you definitely want the front. Maybe you want the back.
Mm-hmm.
If it's a, I don't know, you know.
A dress.
Yeah, I mean, there's a necklace at the moment that I have to send out. It's almost $600, and they want 10 pictures of it. They
mm-hmm.
want a picture of every single part of it. Then they want a picture of it all together. Then they want a picture of the catch. You know, they want a lot of stuff, but then they're going to be paying a lot of money.
Mm-hmm,
so
yeah.
They get as I will send as many pictures as anybody asks.
But what about putting on the website? Because I know you have to pay past, what, two photos?
You have to pay past one. The first photo is free. The second
okay.
one's 15 cents.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not like any big deal.
Right, but would you recommend then putting up those?
It depends on the item.
Okay, so if an item, you know, calls for multiple views.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, when you look at the item, you'll know instantly if it needs more photos. If it's got a weird back or if you need to have a picture of the, oh, I don't know, the hallmark or... anything about it that's strange and you want to draw attention to it, then, of course, a photo would be really important. Something, one photo is more than fine. You don't
mm-hmm.
need any more than that. Generally speaking, I stick with one. Sometimes I have six. You know, they have like a package deal for a whole bunch of them together.
What about putting a photo next to the title listing? How do you
always
get those
do
up?
That. I always do that.
Always do
because
that.
I have a store. So when you go through the store... I want people to be able to see a little picture of everything.
Mm-hmm.
So
what about the store? Is it kind of easy to set up?
Very easy. There's tutorials on how to set up stores.
Okay. Where do people go for those tutorials?
They just go, hang on a sec, I'll tell you exactly. Let me go to my email. Okay, you obviously have to be a member.
I do?
Yeah, but it's free.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant like a paid membership.
Oh,
okay.
No,
it's a
free.
Payment.
Right. You just have to, fill out. Okay.
The registration. Like the registration.
No, you just become a member, and then you just go to my eBay, which is kind of the sort of stomping grounds for everything, and then you go up to the site map and up on top, and there's a whole bunch of different, you know, they have stuff like new member things, and they have tutorials and question and answers about just about everything.
And they're good and effective and very detailed?
As good and effective as anything could be where you don't have a question and answer period,
mm-hmm.
but then there are also questions and answers as well. I have found I send some of my people through those as well, and they almost always have some questions afterwards. But they're certainly more knowledgeable than they were before. But eBay is very, very good about having all kinds of different tutorials. They've got a tutorial on anything. Anything
what about
you
the
want
books that I see?
Nah,
forget it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The only people that are making money off those books are the people that wrote them. You know, how do you make money on eBay? You write a book that says how to make money on eBay and sell it on eBay. There's, you know, there's nothing in those books that can't be learned by, you know, a half hour cruising through the tutorials.
Okay.
They're just total nonsense. They're a complete waste of time. The same with things like sales assistants that sell you stuff for you. Yeah, you will. The only things that they'll sell for you are things that they know will sell. You could sell perfectly well yourself. They're kind of rip-offs.
Actually, it was a question. Well, we're running out of time, so let me just see if I can recap quickly.
Okay.
Unless, Renee, you have any other quick questions.
Let's recap. See.
Okay, so the recap is basically what to sell is unusual items, collectible items, anything that's different. You can't basically treat it as a yard sale anymore, and you're going to sell your, you know, chipped dishes.
Right.
Unless they're really, you know.
They're looking for chipped dishes.
Have a yard sale or go on Craigslist.
Right. When you do your listing, what you really want to pay attention to are titles, keywords, and include a couple photos.
Honest and clean and fast and
not a lot of pretty stuff. And
no.
Right. Well, I was going to say in your titles, and just make sure, see if I get this right. In your titles, which is how you're going to list the item, you want to include as many keywords as well as personal descriptions as possible. Correct? Like the keywords, you know, we talked about with the necklace was, you know, tiny child, heart shape.
Carrot, delicate, locket,
right.
Heart, anything. You can tell pretty quickly what people collect by what's listed.
Mm-hmm.
So if there's 14,000 hearts listed, you know there's a fair number of people collecting hearts.
Mm-hmm. So look at closed listings as a resource to figure out how to price and what might or might not sell.
Absolutely.
Going back to my list on things that we talked about, reserves, you don't suggest them unless they're a high-ticket item.
Yes, no.
Basically, just put up there what prices you want and, you know,
or start with prices that are realistic.
Right.
So people can bid on them.
And then clearly, if you put a price that's too high and nobody bids on it, then you know you're too high.
You can always change it at the last minute, you know, and bring it down if you want.
No, you can. Okay, setting up stores, we didn't really talk about that much. Is it easy, hard?
It's very easy to set up a store. Again, there's a tutorial about it. Really only having a store is good if you have a large number of items so that you can have auctions, and then the auctions kind of lead into the stores, because below the auctions there's four little boxes with pictures, and you can put four little pieces from your stores in those little pictures if you want.
Okay.
Called cross-promotion.
And then those are not auctions.
No, those aren't auctions. Well, you can put your other auctions in there, but most people put their stores in there.
Okay. Basically, when you're bidding on something, the other items come up, and they're like, buy this. It's
just when you go to look at an individual item, if you scroll down just a little bit, you'll see other items from the same seller.
Right, and what I mean is it's just a buy. It's like straight buy this now.
Right. Well, no, it can be both. It can be buy it now, or it can be another auction. Plus, if somebody buys something, four more things will pop up. It says stuff like, would you like to see these other things that this person is selling here? This, and this.
He's very good at working the impulse buy, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
That's good.
Point of purchase.
So that's okay. So that's stores, titles, keywords, reserves, payment method. Any thoughts on that?
Honestly, I recommend PayPal. Just most people prefer it, even though they nibble a little off of the end. I think a lot more people buy stuff if you accept PayPal. I take checks, money orders, that type of stuff. Some people send cash, but I would say 95% is PayPal. PayPal is safe. You know, they take it out of the credit card. It's pretty good.
There are
circumstances where PayPal can be a pain, but I haven't got enough time to go into that.
Right.
And then
the other thing that's very important is getting positive feedback, so really establish a relationship with your customers.
I think no different than in a real store.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you walk into a real store and somebody ignores you and they're talking on the phone and they ask to see something and they ignore you again, or they show you something and it's broken and they don't. I mean, any of the things that would happen in a real store that would make your customer angry or upset is exactly the same thing online. Be honest about the item that you have. Send it out quickly. Communicate with the person that it's on its way, and you know, show that you really care about the customer and it's not just the money. And I think that's extremely important. People really feel that, especially today, because everything is so impersonal.
Yeah, I was going to say, with all this impersonal, just buying things on, you know, from a
yep.
blank computer, it's nice to get some personal.
That's
things.
Why I do very well, because mm-hmm. I spend the extra time. I probably waste an hour every day making that personal communication.
Mm-hmm. So perhaps waste is not the right word.
I know.
What about sending a personal thing in with the package? Do you think that's worth it?
No, I don't bother to put anything in the package because I'm already have an online communication with them, so
right.
I don't need to do that. So I'm always afraid I'm going to forget their name or put the wrong one in or something. Whereas when I'm answering emails, I got it right in front of me.
Right,
so.
Right.
How
right.
do you request good feedback? Do you? You said you do it by email, but how do
you? I don't request feedback.
Uh-huh.
No, I never request feedback ever. I don't need to.
Okay.
The
so
only people who ask for feedback have 11.
Oh, have 11. So they just automatically
mm-hmm.
know to give you
well,
feedback.
What I do say is, you know, enjoy your item and please let me know it arrives safely. Most people do that by leaving me feedback. Some people never leave me feedback. If I had, for all of the actual stuff I had, if I had feedback for every single one, I have over 10,000 feedbacks. So it's just only about half of those people have actually left me feedback. A lot of people never bother.
When I've bought, I've never bothered. That was, I was
self-aware. Well, you know, when I bought, I didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people don't know.
Yeah,
and I don't
did.
Mention it. I don't.
Yeah.
But see, I don't need to anymore because I do have so much feedback.
Well, if somebody's starting out, do you recommend, you know, saying something? Like if you're happy, you know, feel free to leave me some feedback on my site or store or whatever it is?
If you want to. I don't bother. I never bug people for feedback. It really annoys me when people email me and go, I bought something from you and I knew you. I always see people feedback.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just automatically do it, but I don't do it immediately. I leave like 40 or 50 at a time. I don't have time to do every single person.
Right. I mean, and regarding feedback, you told us a great story earlier about how to deal with negative feedback.
Well, that wasn't negative feedback. That was just a negative email.
You're right. Well, it was. Yeah, but it could have turned into negative feedback.
It might have turned into negative feedback if I had dealt with it in the wrong way, if I had basically told her where she could go, which was, of course, my first reaction, because
mm-hmm.
it wasn't my fault that she dreamed of something that wasn't really there. It was an $11 item, which in her mind, I guess, was going to be totally, you know, like a $100 item. Well, it wasn't. It was exactly what the exact description that I gave.
Mm-hmm.
But I still treat it as if this is a customer who is not happy, and even if she's being a tad unreasonable, let me see if I can turn this around and make her happy. And I'm very pleased that I did end up making her feel like she was neither. That's the other thing, I respond immediately. Some people wait days to get back to angry people. By that time, they're even angrier because nobody likes to be ignored.
Right.
Well, I respond instantly. And that is something that they often will mention in the email. You know, thank you so much for getting right back to me on that. You know, like I'm really caring in dealing with the problem. And so, again, that's another thing you really need to know about, that you have to treat your customers like people, you know, who are a bit pissed off if they didn't get what they expected.
Thanks. That's very informative. Any other, Renee, any other questions?
No, it just seems like I think I see now why it can be almost a 24-hour job.
Mm-hmm.
Well, but I mean, every job that we work at has its good and bad points. You can go work for somebody else, and they can make money off your labor. You can work from 9 to 5 and get the same amount of money every week and, you know, just do that, or you eBay, I don't think it's a 24-hour job, but it's certainly a long day. And, you know, again, you get what you work for. If I work a straight 10-hour thing listing stuff, I'll make a lot more money than if I just work 4 hours. But at least it's under my control to make that choice. If you work for the post office, you work X number of hours, maybe you throw in a little overtime or something, but essentially you get the same crummy paycheck every single week, and there's not much you can do about it. eBay is like the last bastion of Yankee ingenuity. If you can find ways to be creative, you will make more money. If you want to go out and go to 100 yard sales and find some cool stuff to sell online, you will make money.
Oh, it can still open for others. It doesn't have to be just, you know, big professionals that have, you know, are making
a
big living. We can still
can
do
make
it
money
too.
It just depends on what you want to do and how you want to do it and what creative ways. I know people that go to like in the post office, if stuff is lost, like for example, the package can't be delivered or the address is gone, there are auctions where you can buy unbelievable stuff that just kind of got lost in the mail, and they resell it online. And they just resell it very reasonably. It's something they're offering for a lot cheaper, and they make decent money. There's a million angles.
Yeah, it's like those people, you know, who go to those storage places and buy up the left storage place.
Absolutely.
So all you think is you buy that stuff, find an interesting angle, and you can sell it.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right, great.
See, the difference is you have the options of your creativity. You can make stuff, you can buy stuff, you can go to yard sales, you can go to flea markets, you can be a thrift shop junkie, you can answer ads on Craigslist. You can do 100 different things. You can offer
the little old
lady next door to sell her stuff for her. You know, who knows? Everyone.
Yeah. Yeah, my neighbor saved me my first year.
Yeah, there you go.
My first year at home, she saved me. She opened that garage, and it was just chock full of collectibles.
There you go.
She was like, take pictures, put them on eBay, and I'll give you a cut. And I'm like, you got it.
Yep. Well, there are a lot of people doing that.
Well, yeah, I didn't know people were actually doing it professionally. I was just like, yay.
No, there are a lot of people that are professional sellers for other people.
Well, that's good. Well, thank you so much, Danny.
I think we need to wrap it up. Thank you so much, Danny. It was really informative.
You're more than welcome. If you need any follow-up questions, you got him a number.
All right. So if anybody has any specific questions, they can email us, either me or Renee, and we will get the answers. So you can email us at info@momsmakingmoney.org and just write any question.
I'm happy to help. Anything I can do to help moms make money. Okay. Well, take care, you guys.
All right. Thanks so much.
Bye-bye.
Hello?